Got it. Okay. So we'll start here. Again, we're holding in Sim and Tuffy and Baze. Save Baze. Yesada Shulchan Yafi B'Kelim Noim Kifi Koichai. Just actually 1 second. Let me just do this. Second. Just a sec. Sorry. Oh, what happened to them? Okay, whatever. It's out of Shulchan Yafi B'Kelim Noim Kifi Koichai. Okay, so try to set your table with nice vessels as according to your means. Even someone who is poor and doesn't have cushions should at least sit on a bench. So see what that's. What the chiddush of that is, just, what is this, what happened here? Sorry, I had an issue here. Issue here, sorry, this thing. So says Mishnah Berurah, Sifkot and Vav, Bekelim Noim, Ba'af Agav, the Bechol Chas, Hashana, Toiv Lemait, Bezeh, Mishim Zeche Lechurban, Baleil Pesach, Mitzvah Lahaibois. Even though the rest of the year you are supposed to not have so many fancy Kelim Zeche Lechurban, you're right, we say when you make one makes a Suda, one is supposed to leave some Kelim out, not to have all to set his table completely. But tonight, on the Leil Seder, Derech Cheiris is to fill the table with all of the nicest kelim that he has. Yeah. Amru al Maril, Shekishahayu b'yodim ashkainis shal nachrim, kalim kelim. Kelim noim loy haya mishtamish behem mishum pam. Rak bepesachayim in hogoy lahasim oisam al shulchan miyuchid lismeich riyas. So the Maril, if you would lend money to goyim and receive as a mashkoin kelim, he would never use them except on Pesach he would put them on a table, a special table that he should get simcha from seeing them. As the, to fulfill this derech cherus of being mesalah shulchan v'kelim noy. So it says, but yeshiva, also it says, sheyeshiv beseva, you have to kelim noyim, and you have to set up your seat to sit beseva derech cherus. Says the Mishnah Berurah, beseva, reitz alaymar, roishay muta, letzad small, alamita, so it says you have to have your head leaning to the left on the bed or on the bench, and karim pillows under his head, eitzel hashulchan, right next to the table. So again, the several conditions of what the seva is. One, that you're leaning to the left. on whatever you're sitting on the bed of the Zavzal, and two, that there are is a cushion under your head, and three, that you are next to the table. That is the three conditions of the Aseva. So, this Lashon Mishnah Berurah of Tachas Reishai, so lead some poskim to Mudaik that it's not enough to be leaning to the side, if not that his head is also leaning, is also supported by the cushion. It says that even Ani, who doesn't have cushions, should sit on his, should lean on his bench. Cain Tzorich Lomer Yosev Al Asafsal. I mean, the lesson we have in the Ramah, if you look up in the Shulchan Aruch itself in the Ramah, the lesson is Yeshev Al Hasafsal. Yeshev Al Asafsal. Yeshev al hasafsal, but the Mishnah Berurah is metakin Yeshev al hasafsal. Everyone should lean on the safsal. Kain tzarich lemer, or latzad small. Im ein lei safsal, v'hu yeshev al hakarka. K'moy ba'artzas ha'mizrach, gam kain tzarich lahosev al tzad small. If he doesn't have a safsal and he's sitting on the ground, then he should also lean to his left. Now, the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, the pshat is when it says Yeshiva Safsal, even Ani should sit on a safsal. It does mean, literally speaking, it's understood as meaning to sit on a safsal and not on the ground. So, Mishnah Berurah is talking Yosev al safsal. He should lean, even though he's on the safsal. Yosef al-Safsal. He needs to Yosef l'tzad small. And if he doesn't have a safsal, then he's sitting on the ground, and he is sitting on the ground. Then even on the ground, he must lean. That is how he's understanding the lach. Again, Shulchan Aruch says even an ani should sit on a safsal. Says Mishnah Berurah, sitting on a safsal isn't itself the aseva. The aseva is to lean. So he's saying, even Ani, rather than Mishnah Berurah's Matakin, even Ani doesn't have cushions, should lean on his safsal without cushions. But even if he doesn't have a safsal, and he's on the ground, still he has to lean. But oid kasmu, ha-poiskim, de'im, semech atzmoi, al-birke chaveray, gam ze, mikre ha-seva, al-piyadcha. Im ze, al-birke chaveray, that even if you don't have anything to lean on, and you're just leaning on another person, that's a seva. If you're leaning on someone else's knees, that's a seva. But on your own knees, not a seva. The mixed gedoyik, someone puts their head on their knees, that adraba, that putting one's head on their knees, that makes him appear to be worried and not to be doing haseva. Yeah. Shalom.
Are you okay there, Byron?
I'm good.
Okay, I just wanted to check that maybe you had an issue. Okay, fine. I'm going out. I just wanted to make sure it's working for you and you're good.
Perfect. Thank you. I wasn't confused if you were there because you had a previous meeting or you were there because you were joining ours.
I was there because I was in a previous. I'm like trying to help people work this thing. So
perfect.
In and out. Okay, great.
Going great.
All the best.
Okay. Welcome to join us.
Okay.
Fine. Again. Okay. So now we're in Siv Gimel. Got it. So Shlomo Karpis is in charge of the Zoom. So he was just checking in before. That's why he was there. Got it. Okay.
It's all good.
Yeah. You have no need to be muted because there's honestly no one else here. It's just you and me.
But you don't want to hear what's going on in my house anyway, so it's perfect.
That's fine with me. Anyways, my house is.
And I'm drinking a beer, so I'm feeling a little bit guilty over here. So, you know, he'll just say.
Ah, well, if you want to come over here and sit a few meters away from me, I have a couple of really nice bottles of wine in my fridge. Right. Okay, so.
Tempting.
Yeah. Siv Gimel says the Shulchan Aruch, Kishuhu Mate Mesiv, La Yate Al Gaboi Velay Al Ponom, Velay Al Yaminoi. Ella al smoiloi. When he's being massive, when he's leaning, he should not lean on his back and not on his face and not on his right, but rather on his left. So again, there are four directions you could possibly lean in. You lean forwards, backwards, right or left, and you should only lean left. Says there, Mav ein chiluk bein itar la'acher. There's no difference whether one is an itar dahan is left-handed. Or not an itar. It's a funny way to say right-handed. I mean, someone not left-handed is right-handed. So whether one is right-handed or left-handed, one still leans to the left. Now, I'm going to tell you an interesting thing about that in a minute. But first, I'm going to have to... let's read the Mishnah Berurah. And while we do that, I'm going to try to pull this up really quick. I'm going to have a fascinating little insight into this. Let me try to get this really quickly. 1 second. Resources. I'm going to put this up here. Passover. Is it this one? I think it is. This is quite cool. Is that the one? No. This one. Okay, great. Okay, back to where we were. Yes. So one should not lean any direction other than left. So that's Mishnah Berurah, Sivkot and Tess. Lo yate, dezeh lo mikri derecherus. It's not derecherus to lean backwards or forwards. Nor to the right, says Mishnah Berurah, Yud, v'lay al yimina, that is right, v'lay shma haseva, it's not called haseva, it's lean to the right. Kevin etzarech lechol bimina, because you have to eat with your right hand. Now, that's what the Gemara says, even though we said already in the Ramah that it's even someone's left-handed. V'oid tam achir yesh, we'll see about that in a minute. Another reason not to lean to the right, the shemayakdim kanaleveshet. If you lean to the right, your windpipe could come before your esophagus, and I know that the food could go down the wrong pipe. The veshet hu betzad yiminai, the esophagus to the right, ukshumate reshe klape yiminai, when it leans to the right, neftach akoyve shagabe akana, then the covering of the flap over the windpipe will open, me'elav on its own, v'yikonis shamamecha, v'yovo lidei zekana. Then the food can go in there, and he can kind of come to danger.
Chas v'sholom.
Yes.
That's the same reason we go to bed on our left-hand side, wake up on our right?
I don't know. Well, you're not eating then. So that's, we're gonna come to this in a second. So I'm going to read to you now. And that, let's finish this next Mishnah Berurah, and I'm going to read to you a fascinating little footnote from a journal that I used to be the editor of. So, Ve'ein chiluk, reitzel lemer, degam itzer tzarech lohasev al smer lekol adam. Even a left-handed person has to lean on everyone's left. Dino, on the left. Ve'af agav, dehu oichel tamim b'smer, even though he eats his left hand. In ken le tam rishon hayet tzarech lohasev al yiminei. According to the first tam, there's not derech haseva to lean on the hand that you would otherwise be eating with. Then, he should be leaning on his right hand to leave his left hand free to eat with. We call welcome ein lechag. Nonetheless, we don't distinguish. Mipnei tam sheni shami yaktim kanal veshet, because the second reason, lest he choke on his food. V'hai taima adifa lon mishum dehavi sakanta. This is a more significant reason. So we should say because basically we should choose deshen reason shatzion because of the danger involved. And always danger is more there's always in any contradiction between Isser and Sakana, always the Sakana trumps. V'yoychel oisei hapam b'min kol olam. This time, the left-handed person will just have to eat with his right hand, even though it's his weaker hand. V'di'evid im hesev atzad yimin yotza. However, a left-handed person, v'di'evid, if he leaned on his right, he's yotza d'yimin shaloi harihu kisimu kol olam. Because his right hand is like everyone else's left hand. Okay, now, I'm going to screen share something, which isn't going to help you because you're not seeing it, but it'll help for the recording.
But I hear every word.
You hear. Great. So here we go. We're going to pick up this. We're going to pick up this screen here. Okay, so I'm reading to you now from a journal called Focus, number 3, spring 2005. It's the journal of a kollel in Palo Alto, California, which if you'd go over this bridge behind me, as if I'm sitting in the Marin Headlands, you could drive another hour south from there, and you'd get to that little town, which has a nice little kollel there. Anyway, the Rosh Kollel, Rabbi Avi Leibowitz, wrote an article, whatever that was, 15 years ago, and I, 15 years ago, was the editor of this journal, one of the editors. And he has a fascinating, he has a fascinating little...
Was this when you were, working there, this was written, or after?
What was I doing there? I was in college at Stanford University. Oh. Anyways, so I edited this journal then, and we're gonna. He wrote an article then about the halachas of the Seder, and he has a footnote about this Mishnah Berurah. So we're gonna read it now. Here, leaning, says here he writes in this reclining. So I'm just gonna read it from this article here. He says that reclining should be done specifically on the left side because leaning on the right presents a greater choking hazard. Furthermore, leaning on the left will leave the right hand available for eating. So it says here, footnote 15, endnote 15. So we're going to go to the end notes. I read you this endnote 15. I'm just going to shed some light onto this point. Now, in endnote 15, here we are. I'm going to read it to you now from this endnote 15. The concern of a choking hazard would apply equally to a left-hand person as it would to a right-hand person. That we just saw in the Mishnah Berurah, but the alternative rationale that the right hand needs to be accessible would imply that a left-handed person should lay on the right. Fine. The Mishnah Berurah concludes that the safety concern overrides the concern of convenience and that everyone should lean on the left side. Although, now, this is the interesting biological point. Although the trachea and the esophagus, again, trachea is the windpipe, where the air goes down, esophagus where the food goes down, are positioned front to back rather than side by side. Now, the lush of the Mishnah Berurah, based on the Gemara, is that they're side by side. If you take someone apart, then you'll see that they're actually not side by side. They're front to back. So the understanding of our rabbis is accurate. So he says, upon consulting my father-in-law, so says this Rosh Kollel, Rabbi Dr. Yaakov Tendler, a pulmonary specialist, it was confirmed that the practice of leaning on the left rather than the right to prevent choking is common medical practice. Food that enters the trachea can usually be coughed out with ease. The concern is that food will get past the bronchi and into the lungs. Considering that the passageway of the bronchi leading to the lungs is much straighter on the right than on the left, there is much less of a chance that food will reach the lungs if one leans left rather than right. So the leaning to the left prevents choking, according to modern medicine also. Not because of the windpipe being opened when one leans to the right, because it's the right, but because when food goes into the trachea, it's easy to cough it up. If it goes into there's actually not a concern that if the food goes into the cone, into the trachea, you'll choke. You can cough up food that's in the trachea. The problem is that when it goes, the trachea goes down and then splits into two bronchi, right? Which lead into your two, the bronchi are the branches of the trachea, which get then split into the bronchioli, into the two lungs. And because of the location of the heart, the left, the bronchi have different angles to attack into the two lungs. And therefore, the bronchi leading into the lungs is much straighter to the right than the left, because the one on the left has to get over the heart. And therefore, it's more of a chance if you lean to the right of it, getting into the right bronchi, then bronchus, I guess you'll say rather, then if you can then the left, and therefore that's why modern medicine sees also that leaning to the left prevents choking, and that is actually practiced today with patients who are lying down, that they eat to their left and not to their right.
Amazing. And the question, you were showing a picture of that on the screen?
The screen is showing not a picture of the bronchi. The screen is showing a PDF of the journal Focus 2005.
Oh, but not an actual picture of where everything's located and like the anatomy.
No, none of that, sorry.
Okay,
that's
got
not
it. No problem.
I'm actually not. That's fascinating.
That's fascinating. I've always wanted that. It's very good.
I think these recordings are actually audio, not video anyway. So I don't know if you can pick up. I'm not 100% sure. Okay. Back to where we were holding. So now we're holding in Shulchan Aruch, Seif Dalet. Isha eina tzricha haseva. A woman does not need to lean. Ela im ken hi chashuva, unless she is an important woman. Haga, says their ma, v'kol ha'nashim shalonu mikri chashuvas. Our wives are all called important. So says the Mordechai Apirbeni Yerucham. Ach, however, despite the fact that all of our wives are considered important, loy nohagu lahasev ki samchu al divrei ravyo dekosav de bezman hazeh ein tzarech lahasev. They rely on the ravyo who said the bezman hazeh no one needs to do haseva. Now, this is a fascinating little piece of halakhic history. Again, women do not need to lean unless they're nashim chashuvos. Now, the Rishonim of Ashkenaz, the Mordechai of Pirvini Ruchim, said that all of our nashim are now considered chashuvos. Historically, our nashim of now are considered chashuvos. Now, you can see there what the considerations are of when a woman is nechshav chashuva versus not chashuva. I don't remember exactly what defined that there. But we'll see why. This depends on their behavior, so we'll see why. But nonetheless, since the Rav Yoh said that Bizmana said no one needs to lean, the women, despite being chashuvas and therefore seemingly needing haseva, do not do haseva because they rely on that opinion, even though men do not rely on that opinion. So let us see this Mishabura, and then I'll tell you a piece about Pshatnas. So Eina Tzricha Haseva, Destam Isha Ein Darka L'Haseva B'Shum Pam. Why don't they need Haseva? Because women didn't have a derech to do Haseva. So what do you mean that women didn't have a derech to do Haseva? Haseva was something that aristocratic people did at the time of Chazal, and therefore it was instituted as something to represent Chayrus, as a derech Chayrus, on Lil Seder, when we're acting as B'nai Chayrut. But women who of every socioeconomic level did not do a seva, so then it didn't represent for them any type of Chayrus. So therefore, they didn't have to lean. That was why women need to lean. Then, except for Nashim Chashuvais, who did need to lean, why is that? So that is because, who are Nashim Chashuvais? Presumably, ones who did lean, right? I guess if there would be such a woman who would lean, then that would be the Chara Nashim Chashuvais. But Bezmana Zeh are Nashim Chashuvais, and nonetheless, they do not lean because they rely on the Rav Yoh. Says Mr. Baruch, the Bezmana Zeh ain't Tzarech L'Haseva, right? That was what the Rav Yoh held, that anyone doesn't need to do a Seva Bezmana Zeh. Time by, what is the reason of the Rav Yoh that Bezmana Zeh you don't have to do a Seva? Kevin de Ein Regilus Be'artzenu B'Sha'ar Yimois HaShona L'Haseva Ela Yoshev G'dakoi. Now, people don't do a Seva anymore. No matter how free and aristocratic one is, everyone just sits up straight in their chairs. And there, because of this, the Aruch HaShulchan says that in Manishtana, We don't mention b'kol leilos einanu mesubim. Halayla zekulanu mesubim. It doesn't say that in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, it didn't ask that. Why? Because in the time of the Mishnah, they always leaned. Only now is the leaning something different than other nights. In the Mishnah, that wasn't one of the four questions. It wasn't one of the questions that was asked then. Now, even though women, the Rama says, do rely on the Ravya, men don't have made to the right line on the Ravya. So, why is that? So I heard like this. I heard that from, Michal Katzev, or if you remember, was the Rosh Hashiva of Orlei Shorim, that I asked him that why, if women now are Hashivais, and therefore, so why should there be this difference of this contradiction that they rely on the Ravya and we do not, and men do not? So he had a Geshmaka explanation. He said to me that men have a tradition to do Haseva from the times of the Mishnah, when it was the Derech to do Haseva. Even though Bizman Hazeh, it's not the Derech anyway to do anymore to do Haseva. And therefore, one would not now need to, if Chazal would be here now, instituting things Derech Cheres, they would not institute a Seva. The Rav Yoh said, therefore, you don't have to do a Seva. But the men, nonetheless, continued their tradition to do a Seva. Women, however, who didn't before the times of Rav Yoh, were not Cheshuvas and didn't do a Seva, even once they became Cheshuvas at a later time, and therefore it would have been Shaykh for them to do a Seva, since at the time they became Cheshuvas, it was no longer the Derech of people to do a Seva, therefore they were Semech on the Rav Yoh not to start doing a Seva, which wasn't at that time anymore the Derech of a Derech Cheres to do. That is what he
told me was the explanation. Okay, so says the Mishnah Berurah Vayter.
That's a very nice explanation.
Yeah, I always remember that one. It's written on some other Mishnah Berurah of mine. Avotoich Yedbeis Chodesh Al Aviv V'imoi Oitoich Shloshim Yoim Al Sha'ar Kredim V'goin Shalei Nog Shiva Lifnei Regal. I mean, because if you did Shiva Lifnei Regal, so the Shloshim ended already. Av Shehu Chayev Beseva V'kol Mokam HaNochon Shalei Yasev Al Mita Kvuda Uklula Al Yasev B'shinu Miksas Nainu Al Mita V'kar Echod Tachas Mirishoysav Oy Al Birkei Chaveiro. Now, someone who's an Avelis, he's saying, shouldn't do the normal Seva. He should make a Shinrin as a Seva. Midin Avelis. Fine. Kittel Nagu Shalai Lilbosh, Dehainu Avelim. Mikol Mokoyim Halevish Ein Meichin Beyalda. So he means Avelim, or he means Stam Nagu Shalai Lilbosh? Yeah, he means maybe the Velas. Fine. I'll stop there. So it's okay next time. More in Hel and Haseva. Fine. We'll go back over to the Tiferes Yisrael, which we intended to start last night.
I'm with you as well.
Eric Esrim Mishishim. Okay, so you have that in front of you now? Yeah? The Maharal you have in front of you now?
Yeah, I have it on my phone. I have it right here. 26, right?
That's right. That was what I sent you last night. Okay, great. Fine. So we saw the past couple times about the morale said in the last chapter why the Torah was given when it was given. That was B'davka, a fitting time for the Torah to be given, D'Avka in the third month, and D'Avka on the 50th day after the season. So it says here, Kasher is bor lamala, shezman ha-Torah eino b'mikra. We explained before, the time of Matan Torah is not happenstance, but rather, it's rather B'davka. Kach mashan nosan ha-Torah b'midbar, so to the location of Matan Torah in the midbar, is also not b'mikra. Time and space, time and place are one topic. Meaning that the time and place thing are the situation of any event. Every event is represented by, is defined by its time and place. So both of those things are the background for any event, and therefore they're both here b'davka. But Medrash explains why the Torah was given by Midbar. It says Yisu Midbar v'arav chatzerim teshev kadar v'yironu yeshvei sela l'nasi shenichnas. It says it's a moshel l'nasi shenichnas l'medina v'ro oisei b'nei medina. People from the Medina saw the Nasi. Ubarachum al-Fanav, they ran away from him. Nichnas l'shniya, went to another one. Ubarachum al-Fanav, they ran away from him. Nichnas l'ir chareva, went into a destroyed city. The Kadma Oisai, they came to him. Vayim akalsan Oisai, and they were praising him. Amar ha-Nasi, zu ha-ir, tovim mikol ha-Medinais. This little destroyed city is better than all the Medinais, all the big cities. Kan ani boine kisei, Kanani Dar, here I'm going to build my throne, here I will live. Kach, Kishabah Kadosh Baruch Hu, Liyam, Baruch Malfanav, when he came to the Yam, it ran away from him, right? When he creates Yamsuf. Shemar Yam Ra Vianois, Kena Harim, Rokdu Keelim, says that the mountains were dancing like Elim in fear, running away from Kadosh Baruch Hu. Bolamid Bachareva, Kadma Oisai, it came to the empty wilderness, then it came towards him. Shanemar Yisu Midbar V'Arav Chaterim Teshakada. Yerenu Yeshvei Sel. They were Yerenu, they were praising in the Midbar. Amar Zuhair, Taiva Mikola Medinais, Kanani Boine Vidar Besaychai, Hischilus Mechim, Shanemar Yisusam, Midbar Vitzia. So the Midbar, it was happy that Hashem was going to build and live there. That is Lashon Medrash. Hina nasnu tam be'ezitzad ru'uya shetinasan atayim midbar. The Chazal here are explaining why it is fitting that the Torah be given in the midbar. V'ratzu b'zeh ki hayam v'hayardin heim chomrim shegedelim the yam suf and the yardin were both things which were chomri. They were physical. Shegedelim boy hanivroim, in them grows physical things, hanivroim and chamrim, v'sham mishkonim, and that is their place of living, place of dwelling on the river and on the sea. V'kach ein lam kiyum, v'amida im Hashem Yisbarach, shehu kadosh nivdal min hachamri. Right? Chamristic things, physical things, don't have a... don't have an existence together with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, who is separate from Chomeris. They can't have a cleaving to him. Lafikach b'yam nemar hayam rovei alais hayarden yisev la'achar. The yam and the arden, they when there's a gilui shechina, that's a stira to the physicality of the yam and the arden. Midbar, bo davar chomri, ain bo chomri, ain hachomrim, raki shemeim avitzia. Right, the midbar is a place where nothing can exist. No living things can exist there. It's empty of life, and it's empty of any physicality. It's not a place which supports physical life. So therefore, mipnei zeh ha'esmecha al midbar. When there's not a physical minia, with not the physicality which is getting in the way and preventing physical beings from connecting to the spirituality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is not physical, then they're happy to and they desire the ila is the source. Now all beings, just take ourselves as an example. Be'etzem, we ourselves, not be it not for all of our physical needs, we all would, Ritzoneinu la'aseh ritzonecha, we all would love to spend all of our time being nenemazi v'shchina. But I just reminded now of a maisa. I think I mentioned this to you before. Rabbi Zelig told me once a maisa that one time the son of Rebbe, the son of Rebbe when he was a kid,
he did what? He did the son with a kid?
When Rabbi Zelig was a kid, I'm going back, whatever it was, 78 years ago. Anyways, so the son of Rebbe was very involved in Chinuch HaTzemoi and things. Anyway, so he once visited the Beis Yaakov Yoshan in Yerushalayim, and he said that he went into one of the classes there, and the teacher was teaching Tehillim with Malbim, and the Malbim talking about the pasuk said I think it was Tevli to speak Malbim of a Kesef. I think that was the pasuk, and the Malbim there is Marich about how David HaMelech is saying how to choose between this world and the next world, and if they have the value of Olam Haba over Olam Hazeh. I think that was the pasuk. So he stops the teacher and he says to all the girls in the class, no, so if you could choose to only have Olam Haba or only have Olam Hazeh, I want a show of hands. How many girls would choose Olam Haba and give up Olam Hazeh? So obviously, all these Beis Yaakov girls, come out, all of them raise their hands. Except for one girl who didn't raise her hand. So he asks her, you wouldn't choose Olam Haba over Olam Hazeh. So she said, obviously Olam Haba is the Tachlis. She said, but you can't get to Olam Haba except through Olam Hazeh. That was what she said. So he asked her what her name was.
And who was she?
Weinberg, she said. It was Rabzalek's sister. Anyways.
Oh, that's so funny.
The Rebbe, who is his uncle, I think, or something like that, said he assumed she was one of ours, he said. He said, I knew she was one of ours. That's what he said. Anyway.
That was funny.
I knew she was one of ours. So, anyways, that's a nice little chassidish maisa. But the point being that, you can't get to Olam Haba without a bit of Olam Hazeh. So that's how it works, right? So it wouldn't be for all of our Olam Hazeh. So obviously all of our physical needs. So everyone wants just Olam Haba. Everyone wants to be. Everyone wants to connect to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Everyone wants to just be totally involved in spirituality. But Lamaisa, there's a goof. And the goof has its physical drives. So he's saying that the midbar, which lacks really, it's the least physical. It's the least physical location in the world. It doesn't have all the means to maintain normal physical life of beings. So therefore, because of that, it's the midbar, which is the most spiritual place, which is lacking the all these physical trappings, which prevent our natural desire to connect to spirituality, to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the midbar was totally, it wasn't some luscious rainforest with all these fancy
you know, tropical fruits and things, which are, you know, yeah, Matantara is very nice, Bellavista, we have all these fancy waterfalls, we have beautiful swimming holes here, we have, you know, there's really good coffee growing, and all those other things. No, there's nothing else. There's nothing there at all. So, yeah, the Midbar is all, it wants nothing else than but the Torah should be given there. Then it wants nothing other than Gilui Shechina, because it doesn't have any physical things getting in the way. Beings all want to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu without the physical preventing them. Will be still kach nasna hatera shehi nitna hatera shehi haseichal agamur b'midbar ki midbar meshulo min advarim achamrim ba'avur shalai nimtza by advarim agashmim hine hamokam miyuchad latera hi amid. Like we said, yeah, the midbar, which lacks physical things, and that is a place which is specifically appropriate for Torah. Fine. Then he brings another medrash. B'shloisha dvorim nitna Torah. B'midbar, b'esh, b'mayim. B'midbar tichsiv yavo midbar sinai. B'esh tichsiv har sinai oshem kulei. Ki yorad alav Hashem b'esh. B'mayim dechsiv gam ovim not for mayim mo elu b'chinam b'olam af divrei Torah b'chinam b'olam adkan. So I know that midbar and esh and mayim are all things that are free in the world. So too Torah is free in the world. That is lashon medrash. Bir inyan ze ki ro'i shetinosen ha'Torah be'elu shleisha. Ki ha-Torah eina misyacheses la-Adam. Ki ha-Adam ba'al-Geshem. V'ilu ha-Torah hi sichlis. The Torah is fitting that it be given with these three things, because the Torah is not itself relatable to people, because people are physical, and the Torah is intellectual. L'fikach ein ha-Torah is yachsus. Ein la-Torah is yachsus la-Adam klal. The Torah itself, because of how distantly elevated it is from people and separate from people it is, it doesn't have any relationship to people. Therefore, the Torah is given with three things. He call elu dvarim, each of these three things, and hefker lo'elam. They are all free in the world, free to the world. That shows they're not specific to any person. Anything which is non-specific to people is separate from them. I know. No one owns things that are by nature separate from people, and the people don't have any direct relationship with, so therefore they don't have any ownership thereof. So that's what represents here the midbar, Eish and Mayim. Those are three things that people don't own, because they are not things that people have a direct connection to. So what are these three things which represent three different qualities that the Torah possesses? These are the three qualities the Torah has that characterize in which ways the Torah does not relate to people. First aspect is the reward and the good that is in the Torah. The goodness of the Torah that the Torah gives to those who keep the Torah is a godly goodness and not a natural physical one, and that's something that people have no way of relating to in their existence in the world. Like we see, the schar given for the Torah is not in nature. It's not like anything in the worldly order of nature. That's why the Torah is given with water.
Shamayim hem toiv b'kol mokon. The water is always good. Kedechsev, all it says in Pesukim, ki yarev, yarev kemata likki tazok atalim rossi. That the Torah is referred to as a blessing of rain and dew. Ma and the Amru Chazal says in the Medrash, ma matar chaim loilam, rain is life to the world. Afa Torah chaim loilam, Torah is also life to the world. Umiachasha Torah hi achaim. Ain't it our tibi? Since Torah is itself life, it's not a physical thing. Hevich ze. Gam keno oinish al haTorah. So to the opposite is the punishment for the Torah. It's enotivi. It's also not natural. Raka oinish eloki. It's also a godly punishment. Shekol oinish shabav haTorah hu shalei b'teva shalei kemenogu shaleilam. All punishments in the Torah are supernatural punishments, and they come to degrees we don't find in normal nature. Malakach nitna haTorah be'esh. That's why the Torah is given with fire. Ki hu nemar al oinish. That refers to the punishment. It says in the Pasuk Devarim that God is like a consuming fire when it comes to give punishment to his enemies. Both the reward and punishment for the keeping and not keeping of the Torah are supernatural. And that's what's represented by the Torah being given with water and fire. The fact that the Torah is given midbar refers to the Torah itself, not to its reward or punishment, but rather to the Torah itself. The mitzvahs of the Torah itself are also not only the reward is too great for nature and the punishment too great for nature, but the mitzvahs themselves are also not natural. Those who said that the Isra of Chelev and Dam are natural things. Right? Everyone's familiar now. There's modern expressions of this. People who say, I've heard this before, that Afro Pamayo. There are people, you know, reform, people who say that the reason certain animals, certain like shellfish and things were also was because they were bottom feeders, and therefore they had hepatitis and things, all kinds of silly things. He says, no, the Torah wasn't. They were preceded by other philosophers who thought that the certain prohibitions were natural things. That was a can a kach le a midbar ki midbar enam delim boy has devarim ativim v'kamoish be'anu l'tnei Torah, the midbar doesn't grow physical things, and for all the mitzvahs and prohibitions of Torah are not physical ones. Can a kach amar ki hayam barach harim roktu k'mishes baralamal zay mara ki ein hatera tivis klal. Torah is not natural at all. But davar zay atzmai Mashanitnam of Midbar, meaning all the mitzvahs of the Torah are for spiritual purposes. All the mitzvahs of the Torah achieve, they have time in, but they have their reasons, but the reasons aren't for physical reasons. The reasons are spiritual reasons of how the Torah, how all the mitzvahs of the Torah achieve all kinds of spiritual realities, spiritual goals, of things which are not physical. But davar ze atzmoi, mashenitna Torah b'midbar, lemer ki ein hatera das tivi. It was given in the midbar to show that it wasn't a natural das, whatever the religion. Vezeu mashenitna b'mayim.
Occurrence. It wasn't a natural occurrence.
Sorry?
Occurrence, maybe? Wasn't a natural occurrence?
Occurrence. What do you mean? Since the Torah itself is not a physical thing, the mitzvahs of the Torah aren't physical, so therefore the reward for them is not physical, and the punishment for them is not physical. Meaning everything we're doing with Torah and mitzvahs
is something in is a supernatural thing. All the mitzvahs are achieving supernatural outcomes. Like the Nefesh HaChaim is marech to explain that all the mitzvahs are affecting all kinds of changes in higher spiritual worlds. They're not achieving things in this world. You put on tefillin and you're doing all kinds of things you can't fathom in worlds that you have no comprehension of and no direct experience with, because the nature of mitzvahs and of Torah is that it's supernatural. It's something we perform in this world, but it's actually the things we're doing are spiritual actions. So too, the reward and punishment for them is also something which is not physical. So we saw today here that the Mokum of the Torah, the whole point of the Torah being given in the Midbar is a lax physical, is the least physical place in the world, in that it doesn't support life. And because of that, it doesn't have, first of all, the physical boundaries to connecting to spirituality that we all experience in life, and that the all other places in the world represented. And also, it represents the Torah in that it's being lacking physicality, and therefore that the Torah, to represent the fact that Torah is, and its mitzvos are all spiritual things, and that is also why the Torah is gemesh b'mayim, representing the reward and punishment for the keeping of the Torah and the prohibitions and the violating of the Torah, which due to the nature of the Torah being supernatural, so too are the reward and punishment for the Torah supernatural. And we'll stop there.
Amazing. Gewaldig.
I'm very happy that we're able to go to this the Sefer here.
This Chavrus is supernatural.
I'm sorry, Menachem didn't join us today. I saw it at random in Best. I told him he should come. It's the last day he fell asleep really early. He's busy at work. You know, he's not, they're still putting out magazines every week, so he doesn't, he's got a lot going on.
Right. I sent out a bunch of emails to people.
That's great.
See if I could motivate them to want to be part of it.
Thing. It's a nice time to be Mekayim in the world when not as many people are, especially these days. And this time.
True.
Nice.
True. Beautiful. Okay, have a beautiful Shabbos.
Thank you.